The time changed over the weekend. I think everywhere, mostly except for Arizona, I think Arizona tends to stay. But in California and around the rest of the country, I believe, it went an hour up. And so it meant that instead of getting it up at 7 a.m., you had to get up at 6 a.m. Pacific time. And apparently, first of all, they need to leave the time alone. They're always playing God with something, you know what I mean? Trying to control. Newsroom.heart.org. Researchers have noticed an increase in heart attacks and strokes in the days following this time change each year. According to a study of hospital admissions across the state of Michigan, there was a 24% increase in heart attacks on Monday following the switch. Isn't that amazing? Though I wish that they would leave the time alone, I like lots of daylight, so I prefer them to leave where it is now. Longer days, shorter nighttime. It's fine with me, but leave it there. So when we become accustomed to that, we become accustomed. You don't have to switch in another 6 or 7, 8 months, however it takes. You don't need to have a heart attack. Relax. Don't make sleep that important. Make nothing or no one so important that you're affected by it. Really. Don't identify with sleep. And so when they do change the time, you just naturally flow with it. But you got to overcome anger. You got to overcome the ego of making anyone or anything that important to you. I understand that. But at some point as an individual, you got to want to know. I mean, you should want to overcome your hell, but leave everybody else in their hell, your family members and everybody. If they, you notice, God gave them little warning signs along the way, right? But they don't take those signs. You go, okay, stay in your hell. And then you cry, why God don't save the children? Why God let little children die? Why God let little children suffer? What idiots. God ain't got nothing to do with that. I want to know for the females. This is Female Monday. Which future do you want? Really, ladies, I want to know which future do you want? Watch this from TikTok.
This is what your Saturday looks like as a single in her 30s girl with no children. I woke up at 10:15, hungover, FaceTimed like 6 people. Took my pup on a walk, got some coffee, packed a bag because who knows where the day is going to take me. And now I'm walking to my friends to go to Beer Olympics for the afternoon. Then we're going to come back to her place, get changed, get ready to go to country night, do some line dancing to some live music. Because I have no responsibilities and no dependents besides the pup. So just got to make sure he's good. And then tomorrow we'll wake up, going to go to brunch with some girls. Because when you're single and childless, your responsibilities are yourself. And I'm taking great care of myself.
Nice. Do you want that, a mother, bunch of white babies, or babies, period? Or you want this lonely, lost female that with no responsibility? Believe me, inwardly, she's miserable. She is in her hell, and that's why she got to stay active to keep from facing her hell. And she trying to deceive you to make you think that that's beautiful. Isn't that amazing? She is not happy being a single woman with no children. Mark my word. That's why she packed her bag when she walked out the house because she doesn't know. She got to find everything to do to stay away from reality. And the one thing I notice about women, not all, but most, they love talking about their trauma. Watch this from X.
Welcome back to the Trauma Cast, a podcast where women talk about their trauma. Now, Brandy, you actually mentioned that you had some trauma on the way here.
Yeah, I was coming in on the elevator and I was bumped.
That does sound traumatic.
You know, to be honest, I've just dealt with so much trauma in my life that sometimes I don't realize when an event is traumatic.
Now, I can sense that you're repressing the trauma associated with the bumping, but at some point you're going to have to explore that trauma in depth if you want to feel whole again. As a child of divorce, I can attest to that.
Oh my God, that must have been so
very much so.
Yeah, you know, if that trauma is too fresh, I don't want
it. My parents just walked in the room and said, "We've been waiting for you to finish college to break the news, but here it is."
Oh, that's traumatic. Yeah. As someone who recently went through a traumatic breakup 9 years ago, I can say.
Oh my God, I didn't realize that you were only 9 years into dealing with the trauma of a breakup. Can you talk about it, or is the trauma too fresh?
When it can have traumatic consequences.
Poor wounded soul. The fact.
Oh God, I had seen that one. My producer told me about it this morning. Oh, that's funny. It reminds me of, I do a lot of counseling by phone, Skype, or walk-in. If you want counseling sessions, you can go to rebuildingtheman.com, rebuildingtheman.com, or call 800-411-BOND, 800-411-2663. I can't tell you the number of men and women who I've counseled with who have told me that for years they go to these so-called expert counselors with the degrees, piece of paperwork, and all they ever do is talk about the trauma. Well, tell me about your parents. Tell me about this. Every time they go, that's all they ever talk about and what happened 100 years ago. And they never move forward. But when I counsel with them, the past is over. Now they deal with what's happening now. They forgive mama and forgive daddy, and they're done with that. No more talking about it, no more remembrance of it. They're able to move forward. But these experts with these thousands of dollar piece of paper from some dumb universities, the intellectual people, that's all they ever do is talk about it. I didn't know that until I've been hearing that over the years, right? At some point, you're supposed to let go of the past, which is an illusion anyway. There's no future nor past. And at some point, you get past that and live now. Now. So don't let these, first of all, go and see them if you want, but don't let them keep bringing you into the office every day talking about the past. That's going to keep you in your hell of the imagination. Love talk. And there are people who are in hell and they love their hell and they get the thrill of talking about their hell. Really, they love them. They don't want you to take them. Let's talk about my hell, they say. Because they love their hell. They love whining about it. They love talking about it over and over. 1,000 years go by. They still love talking about it. So to those people who are paying these so-called college grad counseling people, therapists, and day coaches, and whatever they're called, if they're not encouraging you to forgive and move on, they hate you. They are keeping you in hell with them. Really. Anyone that is not encouraging you to move on with life, relax, let go, and live is your enemy. Just like anyone who tells you that anger is good. I want you to notice, it's up to you, but anyone that tells you that anger is good is your enemy. I don't care how many the Bible they're sitting on, how many the Bible lesson they teach. If they're telling you anger is good, Jesus will say, that's your enemy. Just know that. They are in hell, and they're trying to keep you in hell. The human heart is wicked. God said, trust no man, no one, period. No one. When you really, 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 truly see not intellectually. Intellect is beginning to see it, but at some point, you got to dump the intellect. The intellect is your enemy. The intellect is your enemy. If you doubt that the intellect is your enemy, look at the country. It's being controlled by intellectual people, right? People with degrees, bachelor, doctor, lawyer, PhDs, SADs, STDs, all kinds of degrees. And the world, America, is screwed up. The more degrees you have, the dumber you are. The more degrees you have, the evil you are. Because you're now thinking that you know something because you learned something from a book. And your mind tells you, which is not your own, by the way, that you are smart. You got it. It lies to you. And you believe it, and it destroys you. Isn't that amazing? And so we have a government now. And maybe the government has always been this way. Maybe not, because the government at one point was way smaller than it is today. Did you know we used to have a small government? And did you know that that was once upon a time? That was a time when people didn't rely on the government so much. They just paid the government to build a strong military, fix the roads, and look out for us. You know, amazing? Now the government has become a handout government. They're spending buku money on themselves and giving you money to keep you under control, to keep you under control. Another thing I remember, too, I truly do remember this. Back in the good old days when boys were boys and men were men, people did not trust the government at all. They didn't trust them. And it was the right thing not to trust the government. I remember when they had the terrorist attack over there in New York. And all of a sudden, when they had the terrorist attack, now they had to do all this lockdown stuff, right? They have to check your bags and things at the airport. They have you take off your shoes, your belt, and all kind of stuff. And at first, people were kind of rebelling against it. Well, at first, they were not rebelling because they were in fear. They just had the terrorist attack in New York. And so they were in fear. And then when the fear calmed down a little bit, the people started to complain. But that didn't stop it. It's now worse than ever. As far as when you travel through airports and things like that, we are really already under a communist socialist society. They control us. This is from QZ.com. The TSA is testing new self-screening checkpoint lanes. The new process promises passengers shorter wait lines without the hassle of taking off shoes or outerwear or removing electronics from carry-on bags. Watch this from Good Morning America.
Okay, so I'm approaching the self-service screening lane, and this is the first time that I'm going to be using this.
TSA officers aren't gone here. They're just somewhere else.
Since I don't know too much here, I'm going to hit need help.
Hello, how may I assist you?
Hi, so this is my first time using this, so is there anything I need to know about my shoes or the bag?
Yes, so since you have pre-check, you may keep your shoes on, but make sure you grab one of the trays that are located next to you.
I send my bag through the scanner and put myself through one, too.
This is different. The scanner has all this glass here, so we're going to get in here. Oh, and it shows you that you have to stand differently. It's really very minimal contact with just about anybody.
Definitely takes some getting used to and may slow you down at first. But Christina Peach, who runs this program, says that's exactly why they need to test it.
I'm hoping for a lot of feedback, and that's really what's going to help us.
Even if it's negative feedback.
Even the negative feedback, because you're always going to get a little bit of both. Yeah.
But some may wonder, is this a way to cut down on TSA officers? Christina says absolutely not.
We will always have officers. They're the most important part of any of our systems.
There is no one in line. He walked up there. Nobody there. Of course, it looked easy then. It's not going to be that way in reality. And then they got a foreigner on the screen, a female. And then he was talking to a female whatever that person was. What a setup. This is not going to make your life easier. I promise you it's going to get worse. They have those type of checkout things at supermarkets and things like that. I never go over there. I can't figure those things out. What the? BusinessInsider.com is important. Clear is a friction-free security process at airport that screen your eyes or fingerprints so you can reach the flight gate quickly and conveniently. Watch this from today.
Amid a sea of planes and passengers, a new technology slowly coming to an airport near you that may seem straight out of the sci-fi movie Minority Report. Now, Delta Airlines and the TSA will start using facial recognition to speed passengers from the curb to the plane. For those who opt in, no more scanning your paper ticket or mobile boarding pass. All you'll need is your face. Okay. When you show up at your gate, no phone, no ticket. You simply walk up to the camera, take off your mask.
Welcome aboard, sir.
You're done. For a lot of travelers, it may reduce the hassle of flying and keeping track of those tickets.
I'm all for technology once it's working.
Others have privacy concerns.
At what point is it starting to scan you? When does it stop? What all is it looking for? And then how is that data being used after the fact as well?
In all aspects of your life, you see how technology is making things easier and more seamless for you, right?
Right. Oh, see, it's just so nice. It's just making it easier. We know every move you make. We know everything about you. But it's just so easy. We know where you're going, where you've been, and why. Your bank account, everything. But they make it seem so easy. And if you're unconscious, you're like, yeah, that's right. Ronald Reagan, this is from Ronald Reagan, library.gov. As Ronald Reagan said, the 9 most terrifying words in the English language are, I'm from the government, and I'm here to help. I'm from the government, and I'm here to help. That's true. That's what screwed up the blacks, the government. When the so-called civil rights movement sold them over to the Democratic Party and started handing them out government money, welfare and all that, it's just been downhill. They have controlled the blacks ever since then, as far as being on the Democratic plantation and giving them free stuff to keep them there. That's the same thing they're doing with the illegal aliens right now. I remember this clear thing at the airport, too. They tried to get me to buy into that. But I'm like, I'm not. I don't know. I'm not putting my eyes in there. I don't know what type of whatever is coming through there to blind you. DC, this is from DCPatriot.com. Democratic Representative Barbara Lee ignited. And this is why these women are putting in these females are put in these positions, because the people who are putting them there, they know that these people helped, that these black females will help destroy America. The gates of hell come through the woman. Not the man, but through the woman. And the gates of hell that's in the man came through the woman, his mama. But anyway, I divert. DCPatriot.com. Democratic so-called Representative Barbara Lee ignited a firestorm of debate by proposing a staggering increase in the federal minimum wage to $50 per hour. Watch this from KTLA and TikTok.
You're calling for a $50 an hour federal minimum wage. That's 7 times the current national minimum wage of $7.25 an hour.
I know what worker productivity means, and that means that you have to make sure that your employees are taken care of and have a living wage. $127,000 for a family of 4 is just barely enough to get by. Another survey very recently, $104,000 for a family of 1. barely enough to get by, low income, because of the affordability crisis. And so just do the math. Just do the math.
She is my girl because she is pushing the overtone window in the correct direction. I want a spitfire black woman from Oakland to come out guns blazing with $50 minimum wage, because that is what we need to survive. Let's start the conversation there.
So you still want female in position of power? Females? It's not in the woman's nature logically to make logical decisions. It's not there. It's just not there. It wasn't created that way. Until she's born again of the father, then she would develop the father's mindset, which is a logical mindset. You saw how evil Barbara Lee looked, right? She threw out $50 memory. She gonna tell a business, you gotta pay some lazy bum $50 an hour to sweep the floor, to make a stupid hamburger. The galls, the audacity, the nerve, the gonad. But she did it because she was trying to stay in her position. And she figured that if I tell the people you're going to get $50 an hour, they're going to vote for me. They let that stupid female right after her. What has happened to America? The government has no business telling a private company if they paid a dime. The company has a right to do it. If you don't want to work for a company that pay a dime an hour, you don't have to. And it's either the company loss or gain, but they have a right to make that decision. I saw the same mess happening during the so-called civil rights movement, which was the worst thing that ever happened to the blacks. They are forcing white people to let the blacks into their private business, private cafes and things like that. And even the older blacks back then were like, what the? You can't tell somebody what to do with their own business. Dumb, evil, wicked Barbara Lee suggested $50 an hour for minimum wage. I want my America back. But it's been set up to make sure it never returns. If you want to destroy a family, an educational system, a government, automobiles, put the female in charge. It's over. Can you imagine paying a lazy person $50 an hour? Welcome to the program. My name is Jesse Peterson, and I am founder and president of a national nonprofit organization called BOND, the Brotherhood Organization of a New Destiny. And our purpose is to rebuild the family by rebuilding the man. We are dealing with abortion and the impact it is having or have had on the family. My guest tonight is George Brumder.
Right.
Is that right?
Right.
Oh, that's cool. He's the board chair of Planned Parenthood of Pasadena. Right. I appreciate you coming.
Oh, I'm happy to be here.
Thank you very much. And Marcella Mendez?
Melendez.
And you're not speaking on behalf of the Crisis Pregnancy Center tonight.
No, but I was director of a Crisis Pregnancy Center for 6 years. And I have a lot of experience due to that.
Yes. And now you're with Hispanics for Life?
I'm a board member of Hispanics for Life. That's correct.
All right. I'm glad you came. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for inviting me.
You know, George, I want to start with you first.
Well, actually, I don't say that I'm in favor of abortion. I'm in favor of abortion being accessible to people. I think it should be available in certain circumstances. That doesn't mean I would choose it for myself.
Okay,
let
me ask this.
Or for some of my family.
Oh, so let me ask then, would you choose it for yourself or a member of your family?
That I can't say because I've never been in that situation. I don't know what I would decide if I were faced with those circumstances.
Okay. As a man, and the reason I ask this way, as a man, because not all, of course, but most men are logical in their thinking, whereas most women, not all, because we definitely have a logical woman here tonight, but most women make decisions based on emotion. As a man, how did you get involved and with abortion, and would encourage it in any manner at all? I mean, what changed your thinking as a logical man to an emotional thinking person?
I'm not sure I actually understand your question exactly. Planned Parenthood's whole approach is non-directive counseling that gives the individual the information they need so they can make their own intelligent and presumably responsible choice.
What do you think about men who encourages a wife or a girlfriend or to have an abortion? What do you think about that type of a man?
I guess I wouldn't see any problem with that.
You wouldn't?
No.
Why not?
Well, why would I?
No, I'm saying why not? Why wouldn't you see a problem with it?
Well, because I think if a child is conceived, it's equally the responsibility of its mother and its father. And the mother and father have to be concerned with the well-being of this child. And if they have other children, they have to be concerned with the well-being of their family.
Personally, I was very naive about the whole issue. I really could not have told you what an abortion was until 13 years ago.
I think that men who encourages or allow their woman to have an abortion is a very weak and pathetic person. He's not a real man. And I think that that is one of the reasons that this whole abortion issue is out of control, because men have been pushed out of the issue. I also read something about her. She wrote I have it right here, I think. She wrote a book or some type of proposal called Birth Control and the Negro. And at that time, she wanted to wipe out Negroes because she thought that they were, and this was in 1939, in her opinion, they were underclass people. They were in the South at that time, they were having too many babies, and the birth control was a way for her to wipe out the Negro. How do you feel about that?
Well, I think that that's untrue.
You think it's untrue?
Yes.
So if we can prove it to you that it is true, how would you feel about it? And we can prove it, but how would you feel about it?
Well, I don't think you can prove it, but just for the sake of argument, if you did prove it, as I said, it would affect my evaluation or feelings about Margaret Sanger. It wouldn't affect my view at all about what Planned Parenthood is doing today.
So you will continue to work for an organization that you know
absolutely
the intent of it is to wipe out racist people?
No. The intent is not to do that.
Why are most of, if not all, most of the abortion clinics are in the Black and Hispanic community rather than the white community?
I don't actually know where the clinics are.
They are. I'm telling you that they are.
Well, certainly some of them are. I think they're
most
only
of them are. Am I right about that?
That's correct.
I read someplace that in the Black community, since abortion was legalized, there has been over 10 million Black babies killed in the woman's womb. Is that shocking to you, George?
Well, the fact that abortion occurs doesn't really shock me.
I noticed that people who are in favor of abortion, not necessarily all people who have abortions, but those that are, because most people who have abortion are not necessarily in favor of abortion, but people who are in favor of abortion, they seem to be immoral people. They don't believe in God. They don't believe.
Well, that isn't true.
They don't have, like,
Jesse,
let me finish.
You said I could interrupt any time, and so
but
I'm going
have,
to do that.
I'm going to give you an example.
There are large segments of the clergy who certainly favor the availability of abortion.
But they're immoral clergy, though. Let me show you.
Well, you may call them that, but they don't call them that.
Let me show you this. Most of them, women who are in favor of abortion, they hate men. You know, they hate the family, the idea of the family. A lot of them are homosexuals and drug addicts and things like that who seem to lack values. abortions. Abortion is a very serious, serious issue, and I think that it is time that we really, really deal with it. We need to rebuild the family. We need to put fathers and mothers back in the home together to raise their children, you know, in the right way. Because when you raise kids in the right way and they go out into the world, they cannot be influenced, you know, by people with perverted ideas, whatever it may be. So we definitely need to rebuild the family. We need to change the law on abortion. And the reason that it need to become illegal, because a lot of people lack morals and they need to be governed by the law because they're not self-governed. And so we need law to help people maintain themselves. Now that the law is okay to have an abortion, it is out of control. So we need to change the law in order to turn it around. I appreciate you coming on. We're out of time. Thank you very much for being with us. With me.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Joel.
Thank you, Jesse.
All right. So according to Axios.com, it's official. Trump secured necessary delegates for the GOP nomination. Washington from Donald Trump.
Hello, everyone. It's your favorite president speaking to you on really great day of victory. 1 week ago, we had something called Super Tuesday, and it was indeed super because we won at numbers that nobody has ever seen before, records in virtually every state. Over the top, the Republican National Committee has just declared us the official nominee. And so we're the official nominee of the Republican Party, which is a big deal. So we're not going to take time to celebrate. We'll celebrate in 8 months when the election is over. November 5th, I believe, will go down as the most important day in the history of our country. So start thinking about it. Start thinking about your vote, because this vote is going to be the most important vote you've ever cast. Thank you very much.
Amazing. You're welcome, sir. He looked like he lost weight, right? Amazing. Congratulations. I don't know. You know, there is a spiritual rule. Woe unto the man or woman that try to get revenge on someone else. Revenge is not for us to do to one another. Isn't that amazing? And these people, I was thinking about that liberal black female, so-called DA, I guess that's what she is, over in New York, and this one down in Georgia, how they hate Donald Trump. And in their hatred, they have a glee of trying to get revenge. He never done anything to them. But yet, they thrive off, you know you're evil when you thrive off trying to hurt someone else. NBC, Donald Trump referred to African countries, Haiti and El Salvador, as asshole nations during a meeting and ask why the U.S. can't have more immigrants from Norway. Watch this from CBS.
The White House isn't denying it for now. Donald Trump isn't talking about it, but plenty of others have something to say about Donald Trump's crude remarks about immigrants. Reports say the headline-making remarks happened during a meeting on immigration in the Oval Office. As you can see, some newspapers are printing the quote, others keeping it out of the bold print. A kind of split is happening, too, with television stations and networks, some suggesting parents hit the mute button if children are watching, too.
When talk turned to Haiti and countries in Africa at that meeting, he apparently said, this is a quote, why are we having all these people from whole countries come here? It brings back to the fore the suggestion he is not only contemptuous but racist. He apparently suggested he prefer immigrants from places like Norway. A Republican lawmaker, a daughter of Haitian immigrants, called it unkind, divisive, elitist, and flying in the face of our nation's values.
Amazing. Now, have you seen Haiti lately? Does it look like Norway? Or does it look like an asshole country? I don't know if Donald Trump said that or not, but if he didn't, he should have and said it out loud. I'm black and I'm proud. Amazing. Apparently, if Donald Trump did say it, he was right about it. if he said it. According to Revolver.com and the Daily Express US.com, many are horrified by the chaos unrevealing in Haiti. Guess what, folks? 4,000 criminals broke out of two of Haiti's biggest prisons after it was attacked by gangs. 4,000 broke out of prison in Haiti. According to this report, after it was attacked by gangs. I saw a report somewhere, I don't know how true it is, but these people are coming from Haiti to Florida now on boats. This is from Bloomberg.com. Gangs in Haiti set the interior minister ablaze and attacked police stations and government offices in the capital as the Caribbean nation descended further into chaos. Watch this from firstpost.com.
The Caribbean nation of Haiti is seeing some of its most violent days. There's one man who is on a mission in Haiti. His name is Jimmy Cherizier. And he calls himself Barbecue. There are rumors that Cherizier got the nickname because he was accused of setting houses on fire. But Cherizier says he got the nickname because his mother sold fried chicken.
Do it.
Barbecue and his gang have attacked almost all the government institutions in Port-au-Prince. They attacked Haiti's main airport. Jimmy Barbecue Cherizier is on the warpath, and his demands are frightening.
If Ariel Henry doesn't step down, the country will suffer a genocide.
Once known as a lowly gang leader, Barbecue is now being called a revolutionary by many.
Amazing. Black people are so loving and forgiving and endurance. Remember they used to say that about the blacks? Everywhere blacks dwell or run the country or whatever, city, state, this is what you get. Look at all the states and cities in this country where blacks are in control. You have small Haiti happening, crime and carjacking and killing and drugs and just everything. I've said for a long time that Mommy Africa is happening. I warned you when it was coming. I'm like, look, what's happening in South Africa is coming here. They're doing exactly the same thing in South Africa that they are now doing here, but you didn't listen. And South Africa is here. Haiti is here too. Come on, Haiti. Haiti is here. And here is an example, at least one example. I have more of Haiti being in America already. This is from KTLA.com. A family remains shaken up after a homeless man brutally attacked a six-year-old girl as she was walking in Santa Monica. That's California. Watch this from KTLA.
And now at 5, the search is on tonight for a homeless man who attacked a six-year-old child in Santa Monica.
It has understandably shaken residents and business owners. They are demanding tougher law enforcement.
This family was visiting from the East Coast. They were walking here on Main Street. They had just come from a local ice cream store when a man randomly attacked their six-year-old daughter and knocked her to the ground.
I picked her up and we ran as far away as we could get quickly.
Telek's first instinct was to call 911. She also reached for her phone and snapped this photo of the alleged attacker. She says the man is probably between 25 and 35, casually dressed, tall, and was clearly undergoing a psychotic episode.
I don't have training to deal with a person on a psychotic break.
Many Santa Monica and Venice residents say this stems from a dire mental health crisis. While local politicians promise to lend their help, Christina says it's not enough to prevent an assault on a child.
Amazing. You notice they didn't say the color of the man, the accused. You can bank on it. I guarantee you, I believe, with no proof yet, he was black. As a matter of fact, someone showed me a video of this. I guess it was on somewhere online. And you can see the guy going up to the little girl and smacking her and knocking her out in the street. And the guy looked black. If he had been white, it would be all over the world. It would be known. If you think that's bad, according to the New York Post, a motorist allegedly slammed into his girlfriend on a New Orleans sidewalk, sending her crashing through a wall and killing her. Watch this from Fox.
That's a $2 million bond for the man accused of running over and killing a woman yesterday in Murray Street after an argument. Anthony Cooper faces a charge of second-degree murder. Court documents identify the victim as 21-year-old Anastasia Rayborn. Her family provided Fox 8 with these photos of her. According to court documents, detectives are reviewing surveillance video that includes audio. A woman who lives near yesterday's crash site says her cameras captured what she believes was an argument before Rayborn was hit by the vehicle, which crashed into a building.
Amazing. One thing about the blacks, they'll kill each other, and now they'll kill white people. They don't mind killing the white. It used to be mostly themselves, and it still is. But in an odd kind of a way, they have been given permission to kill the whites. According to townhall.com, Pittsburgh they were making significant changes toward how they would maintain public safety and enforce the law. Watch this from 11 News.
They will no longer respond to calls that aren't considered in-progress emergency. That means calls like criminal mischief, theft, harassment, and most burglary alarms will all be handled by an enhanced telephone reporting unit. That means residents will file a police report over the phone. Officers will not respond unless it's an emergency. Also, between the hours of 3 a.m. and 7 a.m., there will be no officers at any of the six stations throughout the city. Call boxes that link directly to 911 have been installed for people to use in case of an emergency. And during the overnight shift, there will be as few as 20 officers to cover the entire city.
I'm confident in the decisions that we make that it impacts this bureau and the city in a much better way than we have in the past.
Right. Oh, somebody attacking you, go to that blue box over there at the police station and call them. You need to file a report. Don't call the cop. Call the answer machine. If you are offended by a joke about race or anything, the problem with you is not with the person that making the joke. They have their own issues too. But you have the problem if you're offended, and you were already screwed up before you heard the joke. You were already, the person making the joke had nothing to do with the way you feel. It's like when you get married, the wife trying to control the husband and make the husband be exactly the way she wants him to be. Here are some example of racial comedy. Watch this from Rob Snyder, Fox Nation.
The CEO of United Airlines last month, the CEO, he announced of all the hiring for all the new pilots that are coming up this year, all the hiring for the new pilots, the main focus is going to be diversity. What? Diversity? Not the best pilots you can find. The ones with the most hours of experience. Things you've done it before. Maybe. Nope, diversity. I don't know about you, but I'm sick and tired of flying all the time with these white pilots landing safely and on time. Boring.
Amazing. I almost want to say I can't believe that is so bad out there with this race thing that they're hiring pilots and air traffic control because of color and gender and putting all of our lives at risk. Hardly a day goes by when you don't hear some near miss or something, emergency landing or something. And no one is like paused. Well, not no one. Most people are not pausing to think, well, it wasn't like that when you had to be qualified. It wasn't like that when you were the best man for the job. What changed? Oh, I know. You didn't have to be qualified. You had to be black or you had to be female. I want you to really think about that. They have taken the fun out of flying now. Here's another one from Bo Burnham from Netflix. Watch this.
We'll do a racial joke about the white people so you don't feel uncomfortable. White people, we like the same foods. Favorite sandwich, peanut butter and jelly. Macaroni and
cheese.
Our favorite chips, salt and vinegar. Wow. Who said it? Get the cameras on them. Your grandkids are going to see this. Know what a bigot their grandfather or grandmother were. Every non-white person, see who said that. Find them after the show.
Amazing, huh? He said, we're going to do jokes about white people so you don't feel bad. So white people are the only people who can handle it. In the good old days, when boys were boys and men were men, they made all kinds of jokes about everybody. And people laughed. And no one took it personal. Now you can only make jokes about white people if you're white. Watch this one from Theo Vaughn. This is from Theo Vaughn. Watch this.
Fighting with black kids is tough. I don't know if you ever fought a bunch of black dudes, but they win. They win, dude. Dude, I got jumped one time after a football game by five black dudes. I don't know if you ever fought five black dudes at night. Just imagine you're fighting five black dudes, right? Now close your eyes. Now how many black dudes are you fighting? As many as your imagination can hold.
Amazing. Grandpa, tell me about the good old days. Here's another one from Anthony Jeselnik. Jeselnik. This is from Funny Clip Network.
I don't like racism. Thank you. I don't get it. Why would you hate? Why would you choose to hate?
Yeah.
Why would you choose to hate an entire group of people just because of the way they all behave?
Amazing. And last but not least, because I'm about to come to a commercial, this one is from Norm MacDonald. Classic comedy. Watch this.
Now, I live in L.A. Everybody goes to parties in L.A., and I go too, but I'm no good at them. Here's my problem. I have no opinions. You know how people have opinions? I don't got none. Like political and stuff. Sometimes before I go to a party, I'll just turn on the TV and whatever that guy said, I'll say that. Like when I go to parties, I don't want serious discussions.
Right.
I try to find somebody that's at my same level and I'm good at it. I can, like, you know how they say guys have gaydar, they can see other gay people? I'm like that with guys at my same level of smartness. Like I can see a guy in the corner go, I can keep up with that motherfucker right there. And then I make a beeline for that character. And then we talk about Jughead comics for a couple hours. Everything's fine.
Amazing. Grandpa, tell me about the good old days. I want my country back. You know you're bad off if you're an adult man and you blame someone else that you can't make it in life. They're holding you back. They don't like me and all that kind of stuff, right? You know you got issues. No wonder the black women and children are doing it because the guys are acting like the women, blaming somebody else. Rather than getting it out there and doing it for themselves, they blame white supremacy. But as a result of that anger that starts in the home, and every human being hates their mothers until they forgive. These black kids hate their mothers. But they've been told it's not the mama, it's either the daddy that they hate or white people. It's racism. So I want the blacks to know that's not true, in hopes that they will start to examine themselves to get better, be free in life. All right? Some of you might be aware of this and you might not, concerning the blacks. This is from, there are black people who defend smash and grab. They think that's reparation. They're okay with it. Isn't that amazing? Did you ever imagine, adults now, did you ever imagine that something like that could happen? This is from WLWT.com. A Cincinnati man is accused of threatening to kill people at Walmart one day after he was fired from the store. In the video, he can be seen lifting his shirt twice to display a handgun on his waistband. Watch this from Fox.
Facebook Live video shows Kenneth Blackwell Kirkendall walking in a neighborhood and describing what he intended to do.
Somebody show all these white everybody. I'm killing all these.
At one point, Kirkendall wagged his finger at the camera and again said what he intended to do and how many victims he expected.
He's gonna die today. I'm 20.
Kirkendall appeared in court today on charges of aggravated menacing, inducing panic, and ethnic intimidation.
But this go wrong today on my soul. I'm walking right in that on me. I'm about to get the blowing. Anybody I see today, boy, I'm popping the.
Kirkendall's defense attorney disputed the ethnic intimidation charge.
I don't think simply referencing someone's race and an intimidation is sufficient to make that charge.
The judge said he would let the grand jury sort that out.
I'm about to go to Walmart, kill all the. Be going out with a bang on my soul, walk right in the back room with a blowing this.
Amazing, huh? Now you see why white people are afraid of the blacks. Even blacks are afraid of the blacks, those who are not committed this type of stuff. That's due to anger. That is evil. And I promise you, there's not one white man at Walmart, white person at Walmart, has anything to do with the way this guy's feeling. He was already that way when they met him. But he blamed them for the way he feels. That's why he wanted to hurt him. I'm going to kill one of these white B-words today. Isn't that amazing? And you think anger is good. You think you need anger to operate. If you do, you're evil. Anyone that has anger is evil. ABC has reported a 36-year-old man armed with a gun is in critical condition after police said he provoked another man on a subway train in Brooklyn and was then shot by his own weapon. Watch this from ABC.
Terrifying new video of passengers on a subway in Brooklyn, frightened for their lives as two men fight and one of them shoots the other in the head.
A routine commute home turned in seconds into abject terror with gunfire and hundreds of passengers trapped underground or running for their lives. Some passengers just stayed in their seats until the older of the two men pulled a gun.
We got it now.
For hundreds of people on two separate trains, a routine commute home changed suddenly tonight with the deafening echo of gunfire underground.
Where's the NYPD? Oh my God! Close the door! Close the door!
Passengers crouched down to avoid the gunman firing in a car just across the platform.
As I'm coming out, you hear pops, like three or four shots, pop, pop, pop. Then the doors open. Everybody come flying out.
Amazing. Who want to live like that? I remember when that was only confined to the hood, in the black neighborhoods where they were doing that to each other. Now it has spread. That's what evil does. When you don't overcome it, it will destroy you. What's wrong with the blacks? New York Post Daily, NewYorkDailyNews.com. Get ready to open your backpacks or bag to National Guard troops or state law enforcement when you ride New York City subway. Watch this from FNTV.
Anyone looking to do harm or spread fear on our subways, you will be caught. Plain and simple. There will be consequences. This has to end. New Yorkers deserve no less. And to those who are feeling anxious whenever they walk through those turnstiles, we will stop at nothing to keep you safe, you and your family members.
Okay, all right, well, I'll talk to you tomorrow.
Thank you, blacks. Your violence has caused the country to be controlled completely by the government. And that's what the government wants. Apparently, Eric Adams has been coming up with some good ideas for quite some time now. Watch this from the New York Daily News.
I realize how important my crusade is of removing illegal handguns off the streets of New York. I will show you how to search a room to ensure that you remove illegal handguns and other contraband from your home. What I would like to show here is to empower parents on how to search a room inside their home. It's imperative that you should know what's inside your household. You can look in the jewelry box. A jewelry box of this nature, maybe a simple jewelry box, but if you look through it closely, you don't know what your child may be hiding. For instance, a gun could be hidden. A small caliber weapon could be hidden inside a jewelry box. Look through it to see what exactly is your child carrying in addition to a book. Something simple as a crack pipe, a used crack pipe. Behind a picture frame, you can find bullets. What does that mean, to find bullets? Does it mean your child is carrying a gun? No. Where there's smoke, there's possible fire. Look at all the items inside the room and feel around and see what's the possibility. Something simple as a baby doll. Could be just a baby doll, but also it could be a place where you can secrete or hide drugs.
Man, a loser in your home telling you what to do. The man that doesn't support having the cops bring back the police. Support illegal aliens. Put them up in fine hotels, 4 or 5-star hotels. Get them free education. This man can care less, and he's telling you what to do in your home. A loser. While crime is just out of control. At least one man is telling the truth. This is from BitChute.com. Charleston White claims he doesn't feel safe around blacks, around black people, but he feels very safe and comfortable around white people. Watch this from X.
No, I was just going to ask, do you feel safe around black people? Your own kind?
No. No, I don't.
And do you feel safe around white people?
Yes, I feel very safe around white people. I feel very safe around white people.
You ain't got to explain that. That's some wild, but I hear you.
I'm comfortable when I'm around white people. I'm alert when I'm around black people.
That's crazy.
I'm alert and I'm on edge because I know it's going to be a problem.
Yeah.
But yeah. Black people show you the most love, though. Let's say that.
No.
Damn.
Uh-uh. Nah, black people don't show.
They have no love.
Black people show the most hate.
Yeah.
Because they hate the love.
Yes.
And they love the hate.
Yes. Amazing. Absolute amazing. He said it too. He is telling nothing but the truth about that. Black people do not have love. They have great emotion that feel like love, but that come from hate. That is not love. The one thing that blacks do not have is love. Love don't kill. Love don't blame. Love don't, is not out for revenge. It's not jealous and full of strife and blaming, and they don't have love. He's right about 100% right. And not all, but most.